This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Feeling thirsty? You might already be dehydrated. Enter Liquid IV. Behind every great-tasting sip is a science-backed formula of electrolytes and nutrients made to quickly replenish fluids lost from sweat. Every stick is powered by 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Redefine the refresh with Liquid IV, also available in sugar-free. Tear, pour, live more. Visit us at liquidiv.com.
You can't censor us.
This is Uncensored Parenting, talking about the shit no one else will. You've got questions, we've got perspectives.
Hello, everyone. On today's episode, we have Namaya Devi, who is the owner of Goddess of Consciousness and creator of The Flirt Factory. She's a sexual liberation coach and energy worker. She is also a mom of 2 amazing kids.
Thank you so much for joining us, Namaya. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Well, my name is Namaya Devi, and I am a single mom of 2. I have a son of 14 and a daughter of 10 years old. I work as a sensual liberation coach, and also I am creator of The Flirt Factory, which is a community for conscious singles.
Wonderful. Will you tell us about your experience, a little bit more about your experience as being a mom? You said you have a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Yes, that's correct. I'm a single mom since 8 years now. And it was quite of a journey to really become an aware mom. Well, I was always an aware mom, but since my breakup, I really became more and more aware, and I noticed that my children are really a mirror of how I am feeling. And that's something that I learned along the way. And I really found out that when I'm doing my inner work, then things shifted with my children, where they were fighting with each other. I suddenly saw this pattern. Oh my God, there's something inside of me that's not solved yet. And when I started working on that, things shifted. And that's how my journey started, really, to become a very aware mom and being an energetic parent, really seeing my children for what is going on with them and reflecting that back to me. What are they telling me with their behavior, and what do I need to work on to guide them in this whole process?
And so do you co-parent, or you have your kids all the time?
No, I co-parent.
Okay.
Yeah, we do half week.
Yeah. Okay, great. And how is that co-parenting?
I found my way into this. It is sometimes quite challenging because it's half week. And when I'm, settled with them, then they are gone. And when I'm settled in my own space, then they're back. So that's kind of challenging sometimes. So I really would love to go that we week on, week off, really do a week so I have more time to connect with them and have more time for myself. And my relationship with the father is, it's okay, but he looks at things differently than I do, but it's fine because for me, it's okay that my children really see 2 sides of these worlds. And they have this kind of aware side, and they have this side, the way he looks at things. And I really try to, let them decide what works for them. My way is not the way, and his way is not the way, but, they need to find out for themselves what works for them. But that's also, for me, part of being a conscious mom, to really allow them to find their own way in this. I am very open with them. I communicate almost everything with them, also when things are not really working with their dads, and I'm just, you know, open about it and, yeah, try to tell them my side of the story, but in a way that it's non-judgmental, just facts or just my point of view. And I let them know that it's my point of view.
Yeah, that's great. We also co-parent with two other co-parents, and we do a week on and a week off. And we find that we love the week because we get to experience so much more time with them. Yeah. And there's less of a transition period when there's a week long. Yeah, but it always brings its challenges. But I love the idea of, you know, being able to share your truth, but still naming to them that this is your perspective, and you know, their other parent might have another perspective.
Yeah. And also that there are different rules in that house, and different rules than my rules, and they are now a combined family. Is that correct English word?
Yeah.
So there is another woman in that house with her own rules and her own point of view, and that's not always matching with the point of view of my kids, but they really need to deal with that and to support them in that. That is just, you know, point of view of that new person and that new family situation. And yeah, and sometimes it's difficult to hear, but on the other hand, I know that it's their process that they need to, you know, find their ways in. And I think it's only good for them to see different perspectives and different ways of how you can be in life, because they need to find their own ways. And the only thing that I can do is support them in just growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you deal with when there is a different rule that's coming up that your kids are experiencing at another home, but then they come to you? Like, how do you go about talking to your kids about that?
Yeah, just talking that it's just a fact. You know, there are rules that I apply here. Well, do I really have rules? There are some rules, but I really like to communicate with my children about it, what works for them. Because, and my son is now 14, and last time I had a conversation with him, I said, yeah, I see that you're sort of how do you say, expanding your boundaries. Are there some rules here in the house that really do not work for you anymore? Because, you know, if that's the case, then please let me know, because then I'm open to talk about it with you, so we can expand those rules or change those rules so it works for you and you don't have to, you know, look at conflicts or something. It's just, yeah, let's just co-create with this, and so it works for all of us and not just have these difficult conversations or conflicts about it, because I believe that it's not necessary if we're willing to listen to our children and willing to be open about their choices or their, you know, yeah, what they would like in life.
I really like that. Giving your child a voice to come and say, yeah, listen, this rule isn't working for me anymore, and here's what I think it could be, or I don't know the solution yet, but maybe we can have a dialogue that we can find a solution for that. That feels so empowering. Yeah. I wish I would have had that as a kid.
Me too. Yeah. I would have been less rebellious.
Yeah, but that's really the mom that I am, that I'm being that person that I would want my mom or my dad would have been for me. And especially with my daughter, when she is emotional or, you know, when we have deep conversations, for me, sometimes it really feels that I'm holding my own little me in my child and talking to myself as to my inner child. And it's so healing to be in that space with her, and also for myself to really be that parent for her that I would have wanted for myself. And therefore, I can give that to myself for my inner child.
Yeah. My son is 13. He's about to be 14 pretty soon. And he is definitely expanding his boundaries. Yeah. And I just didn't even think about the idea of sitting down with him and actually having a conversation of like, I see that this isn't working and I want to co-create something with you. And so like, what is your suggestion maybe around, like, you know, let's say that my son or anybody's child is this age, right? Because developmentally he's shifting. And when there's a developmental shift, I feel like that's a time where rules kind of need to change or you can negotiate boundaries. What is your advice maybe for, or a suggestion on how to kind of approach that so that they're able to explore, maybe not participate in like risky behaviors? Like what would you suggest?
Mention that they're able to explore and that it's part of the development. And if I would ask questions, just be curious and what would you like to explore and other things and what's going on with your friends, or, you know, really have that open conversation and mainly ask questions, really curious and open questions. And based on what they're telling, ask another question, just like we're having this conversation right now, you know, that kind of conversation I also have with my children. Just be curious and really listen to what they're saying and put my judgments or my projections, put those aside. Because I want them to be safe, because in my past, I had some trouble with this and this, and I want to prevent that they, but then it's just this projection on them. Maybe they're not even there to explore that, but I'm putting my fear or my whatever on them. And that's what it's for me to be really that conscious parent, to put those aside, to be aware, what are my projections, what are my fears, what is my baggage, what I'm putting onto them. So yeah,
I was gonna say, I feel like I've had this conversation multiple times in the last couple of years of just like, wait, is this something that might actually be happening, or is this my own projection that I'm putting onto my son right now? Because and a lot of times I would say close to 90%, it's my own projection that I'm putting onto them of my experiences, and I'm fearful that they're going to experience something similar to that.
And it's okay if you mention it. Oh my God, you know, I in my past, I've experienced this and this, and I'm afraid that, blah, blah, blah. So it's clear to them. And what I strongly believe is that we are, as a parent, aligned with what we're saying and how we act. And if it's not aligned, they know. They know, because energy, that's the first language. Mm-hmm. So they know, they feel they're so very sensitive, but maybe they cannot have this picture or story about it, and they're going to, you know, make it their own. So therefore, for me, it's so important that I'm aligned with what I'm saying and what I'm how I'm acting. Even if I'm angry at their dads, I'm going to mention it, because I can pretend that I'm not, but they know. So the energy is awkward, and they're going to make up their own story. So I'd rather be have this pure expression and authentic expression and keep it with me. You know, I am angry and it will pass, you know, but this is what there is right now. This is the energy that's going through me, that I'm feeling angry with your dad. And sometimes I explain why, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes they don't need to know, but I am very genuine with what I'm saying. And yeah, I believe that is key.
Yeah, I think about growing up, I hated when my parents like projected on me. And I remember one time my mom saying like, well, I don't want you to do this. And it's like, but I'm not even doing it. Like, I remember being so frustrated about it. And then, but I see myself do the same thing to my son, because I have quite a rebellious nature. He has quite a rebellious nature. And I am like, mine's great. My rebellious nature is great. But then I'm like, when he does it, I'm like, oh, I don't want you to do this. This is going to get you in trouble. And then it's the same thing. Like, I'm still projecting on him instead of being curious or asking more questions and trying to understand where he's coming from.
Yeah. I would like to share a story about it, because I had last week I had a conversation with my daughter about it. I sensed something was off, and she wanted to meet up with a new friend. And when she said it to me, I sensed something. That's weird energy. But I was like, okay, you just do your thing with this friend and do it. And when she came back and she told me all the stories, I had that same feeling again. I had this image in my head that popped up and I was like, okay, I really don't hope that she did what the image is telling me she did. And then a couple of days ago, I read her text in her phone. Mm-hmm. And there was this little sentence. And I was like, and I saw that same image again. So I was like, I really need to have that conversation with her now. So I asked her if I could have a conversation with her. And she was like, oh, yeah, what about? About your phone. I read something in your phone and I would like to have a conversation about it with you. And she was really like, the moment that I mentioned the sentence and there was shame and she was contracting and the whole energy shifted. And what it was about was she took some makeup from the store. She stole it from the store. And I saw so much shame. And when I saw this text, I was like, well, if she needs to know the consequences, and if she's maybe she's going to do it again, and maybe she's with that friend, you know, bad influence. And my head was really spinning. But when I had that conversation with her and I saw her, I was like, I really need to put all my shit aside, and I need to be the space holder for her now. My own projections, my own fears, my own judgments cannot be part of this situation right now, because she is in so much shame and she didn't want to look at me and she was just, you know, leaving her body. I could sense that she was just, you know, leaving her body, and I was just touching her and making her feel comfortable and feeling safe. And I was like, yeah, you can tell me, no matter what, I will love you no matter what. I don't know what the situation is. I have a hunch. My intuition is telling me this and this. Am I correct? I want to hear your story. And finally, she mentioned that I was correct. And I was just holding space for her and just, you know, letting her feel safe. And she was like, yeah, I'm feeling such a bad girl for doing this. And I feel so depressed. And I said, oh my God, is this something that you, you know, walked around with all this time, that you were feeling bad? And yeah, and there was no one that I could talk about with it. So for me, it really felt like I need to be your space holder right now, and everything is going to be okay. And my next question was, okay, so you are not a bad person for doing this. Sometimes you just need to experience things to find out that it's not your kind of cookie. Would you do it again? No, I would definitely not do it again. Then is that what you've learned? You know, you experience something and you now learn that that is not your kind of cookie. So you know now. And it's going to be okay, you know? And for me, that is the magic of parenting, to just let them feel safe and that it's okay to make those kind of mistakes and experience, you know? Life is about experiencing. And is it something that I, push her into something, go experience? No, but it happened, you know? The situation was there that she just wanted to do that, and she thought it would make her happy if she took the makeup from the store. It did for a moment, and then in the end it didn't. So, you know, and I could have been angry, or I couldn't have punished her, or, you know, the consequences if you do that again, if you put for the police and look. Yeah, that's an option that I could choose, or I can just be her space holder and still make her feel safe. And that it's also safe for her to tell me these kind of things. Because if I provide this environment for her, then probably the next time something comes up, she will, you know, share that with me. And
yeah, I mean, how many times have we all reacted to a situation that our kid has done, and you get upset and you're having these flare-ups and reacting to your child, and then the consequence, though, you think, you know, at times I've experienced where I've thought like, oh, this is going to have an effect. He's going to listen to me this next time, or my daughter is going to listen to me this next time. And then you realize like the consequence actually of that is that they stop listening to you or they stop coming to you and it gets greater versus the opportunity to actually process it with your child, to be able to say, like, what did you learn? How did it feel? And because they can't ever come to an awareness if they don't process that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. For me, it's so important to be the mom that can provide awarenesses. You know, that they, or by asking questions and making them feel safe, that it's safe to just explore life.
Yeah.
Instead of going into the flight or fight modus or just check out completely and feeling unsafe in the world. And
do you have any like tools for parents that, because I know that sometimes when something happens, you know, with my kids, like I can easily get into that whole flight, fight, flee, like panic stage. And do you have any tool suggestions or something that parents can use to kind of keep them in a calmer state so that they can hold space if this were to happen to them?
Do your inner work. Really do your inner work. Yeah, because if you can manage yourself and be calm, be, you know, do breath work or do whatever it takes to be in that calm state, so you train your muscle to be in that calm state, or then you mirror that to them and they can feel safe. I don't feel safe within myself, they don't feel safe with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel safe or if I'm angry, then I mention it. Okay, I'm feeling angry right now, this is and it will pass, and or I'll come back to you in a bit when I'm calm down. But be open, be genuine in what's going on in yourself.
It's really why it's so important for parents to deal with their own wounding too, right? Yeah. Because then they're going to create a wound onto their child when it's not even, it doesn't need to happen. There's,
even though also when we want to prevent, if we are aware of our wounds and we want to prevent them from having those wounds, then we still projecting those wounds on them, but the other way around. So
And it's and really you have to deal with it. It's not just putting it to the side and staying calm or in the presence of calm. It's really actually dealing with the stuff that's going on inside of you, which requires to be done when things are not heightened. A daily practice.
Yeah, or be vulnerable with them. You know, if you burst into tears, then that's something that's in the moment. Then that's also okay, because if you stay, you know, aligned with what's going on within you, then it's totally fine. You don't need to be calm all the time. Yeah. I don't think that is even possible, but you can be genuine and you can be what you are in the moment.
Yeah.
That's what we have.
Totally. And it's not, I think about this, it's not about manipulating them like you're having emotions to make them feel bad. It's showing them your true, what you're really experiencing and the impact that what they've chosen to do has had. Because I really feel like there's this, especially raising kids and talking to so many people, so I think sometimes kids don't really understand the collective or has a collective awareness, just developmentally, it's not really there. And I think that sometimes they don't realize the impact that they make on people when they behave a certain way. And this is almost bringing the beautiful piece of vulnerability so that they can see the impact and have that social awareness.
Yeah. And that's something that I mentioned too, if they show some behavior that I mentioned to them, okay, what you're showing right now, be aware that people can have judgments about it. Or about sexuality, of course, you know, that's something that's very judgmental subject. And I just, you know, let them know that there are judgments in the world about certain topics.
Yeah. And so speaking, like, I want to dive into talking about some sexuality stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you talk to your kids about sexuality? Because I know, like, you know, sexuality is such a broad topic. And I think, unfortunately, like, parents these days didn't have proper sex education, or I should even say comprehensive sex education. And so there's this like immediate jump to thinking that sex education is literally penis to vagina, intercourse, and that's it when we talk to our kids. And sexuality has so much, so many working pieces to it than just that. So like, I know this is kind of a big question. It's not easy to just say like, this is how you talk to your kids about sexuality, but like, how do you start talking to your kids about sexuality?
How do I start? Yeah, I just start. Yeah. And I follow where they are. You know, my son is now 14, and a couple of years ago, I talked about that his body probably will change in a bit, you know, that there will grow hair under his arm and, you know, in different areas. And I just mentioned that, just like I'm mentioning something else, you know, we're talking about. But first, I needed to lose my own judgment about sexuality. I grew up with a lot of judgments about sexuality, and I was very afraid of everything about sexuality. So I really needed to do my inner work again to be free with it, to be open with it, and to just talk about the subject like we were talking about school. But I needed to be non-judgmental about it.
Yeah, I had the same experience, I think, on experiencing non-judgmental. I'm going back to get my sex education certification. And they had a survey around, like, you were kind of journaling what came up for you when they had topics on there, okay? So it was, like, kissing, holding hands, like, and it increased the level of intensity, right? So it kept going, like, making out, hands on breasts, fingering, and then it like kept going down the line up until like anal sex, or like even like same sex interactions. And I had no reaction as I'm reading these. I'm like, yeah. And I'm celebrating myself for being so open, right? And then the next question says, and if we asked you about a teenager having these experiences, and my whole body was like, like, I just, because I like started to panic. I was like, oh, that's a whole different story. And I had all these judgments, and I had realized, like, wow, I really do have a lot of judgments when it comes to my own kids or even youth. Like, I just was like, oh, instead of coming from the space of like, well, if they're ready, and how do they know they're ready? And those are the things that I really had to start uncovering. But you really do have to kind of deal with your own judgments about it.
Yeah. So you really can be open and have this conversation like it's the most normal thing ever. And basically it is. But because there are so many judgments and projection and whatever there is about sexuality, it becomes very awkward. I think we really lost the genitals are just a body part. It is connected now. A body part of the genitals are sex. And that's just, you know?
Yeah. We've created meaning to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that point of just start talking about it like it's normal conversation. I've even tried doing this with like friends of mine, of just like, start asking questions them about it, because it feels less, you know, like that still feels vulnerable to me to bring up a question to another brother of like, you know, how often do you masturbate or like things like that? We don't talk about those things as adults, but then we're expected to talk to our kids about it. And the more that I'm learning how to talk to other men about it, I feel like the more confident I'm getting to have these conversations with my son then too, of like, you know, asking him more questions, being curious or sharing and seeing where he's at.
Yeah. And I strongly believe that we can really have more awareness about that sexuality isn't always about orgasm or, you know, working towards a result or ejaculation or whatever, but just can you be with your genitals just in an intimate way, or caressing, or just a loving way, like, thank you, body, for have these healing capacities. Or how do you look today? Or, you know, really have this, like you're looking at your feet or your face, or, but we don't do that, because then it's just all about result. And I really think that the porn industry is there, has a huge impact on that. We just have this image about what sexuality is, and especially young guys and girls who might watch it, that that is the truth about sexuality. And yeah, that sometimes really breaks my heart to just have that kind of knowing about sexuality, or that, that the first thing is what you see as a kid about sexuality, the porn industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a society in general, it really is a goal driven, like sex is a goal driven. Yeah. I mean, even our sex ed here, like we talk about like pregnancy, right? And that's still this end result. We don't talk about all of the things in between, like the pleasure or like knowing your own body or, you know, keeping yourself safe, however that looks to you. And being able to communicate with partners, like had I learned some of the stuff that I'm learning now in high school, I probably would have kept myself a lot safer, safer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I recognize so much. I really thought that porn was what sex was.
Yeah.
And it really was not my kind of cup of tea. And I thought there was something wrong with me. So I really believed that there was something wrong with me for years, that I did not like the way, you know, the porn industry shows it. I was like, yeah, but I don't like that. And yeah, until I stepped into the world of Tantra and discovered a whole new era, a whole new difference, you know, kind of being with myself, and really make it an internal experience instead of an external experience, and that I need you to have my own sexual pleasure or something, but really to make it my internal journey.
Yeah. Will you go into a little bit about the tantric piece? Because for like any listeners that have no idea what you're talking about when it comes to Tantra, will you kind of just share a little bit about Tantra, like the big purpose of Tantra and how that actually, I know you just briefly spoke on it, but kind of how that applies to sexuality?
For me, Tantra is really allowing things to be and really do explore myself in what's going on inside of me, emotions or energies or life itself. What does it reflect back to me? And yeah, invite that and be with that. And it's not just about sexuality. For me, sexuality is now a life force energy. You know, we all have been created from that sexual energy. Because your mom and your dad, you know, they had sex and there was sexual energy and there was you, you know? So we are sexual energy. And I think it's really our medicine to heal our bodies and dive deeper into ourselves and create awareness or create something. And it doesn't always have to be that final orgasm, you know? It's really the experience, experiencing life, experiencing my body, experiencing someone else's body. That's for me, yeah, I think that's for me Tantra. And of course it's so much more, but yeah.
Yeah. And so just thinking about then applying it to like youth, like what are the benefits of teaching, you know, tantric sexuality to kids? And I'm not saying like teaching the act of sex. I just want to clarify that. But it's the philosophy or the idea of it, because really tantric sexuality around being sexual life force energy and bringing awareness and being with our body, it's really reconnecting back to the body. And why, like, why is that beneficial for youth to have these teachings?
I would say that it brings them back to their heart connection and their longings. What do I really want in life? How do I want my life to be? And who am I? And who am I bringing to the table in connection with someone else? So for me, it's so much more than just knowing your body, but really creating your life. If you know your boundaries, if you know your longings, if you know how to connect with yourself and from that space to someone else, I think it's so beneficial for you creating your whole life and really doing what you love.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, doing what you need to do because society says so that you need to do that.
And this is the piece that, like, I really want to anchor down, because I feel like when we talk about sexuality, again, like, we all think it has to do with this act of penetration. Yeah. And this right here is such an important piece of sexuality. Like, you even said, like, connecting back to your heart and being in your body, and even thinking about, like, what do I want to be? Who do I want to be with? What feels good to me? And if we don't teach that, kids don't know. And then they can enter relationships that can be dangerous. They enter relationships that aren't fulfilling. And there's, you know, divorce rates, or there's unhealthy ways to approach relationships. And then they get into situations that they're not ready for. So this is like, this is really the piece that's really important to me. I'm glad you said it, because we really need to talk about the holistic piece of sexuality and not so much the act or,
And I strongly believe that if we orgasm from a different way than just, you know, having that result and that rush, we can really use it to heal our bodies. Because that orgasm is just, you know, that explosion of releasing that energy from your cells. And it's not just in the genitals, but it can be everywhere in your body. But we have just we've been so disconnected from that, to really not use it anymore as a healing capacity, as our medicine for the body.
It's a very different way to look around sexuality, the healing aspect of it.
And I really believe that if we learn our kids that it's beneficial for the whole society, because then, you know, the depression or the burnout or whatever there is now, the main sickness, it can be healed. If we start connecting with our own bodies and learn our children to connect with our own bodies, but therefore we just need to connect with ourselves first and really do our inner work and get out of our comfort zone and out of distraction or avoiding, and really radically look at ourselves. And that's not always easy.
No. We've had that over the last 2 years of like, this work is so hard. I really love though the talking about doing the inner work, because you know, when we talk about like things that we didn't like that our parents did to us or whatnot, and we're so wounded, right? We're all going back now to deal with our wounds and doing the inner work to deal with our wounds, because we were wounded. This is why it's so important to do the inner work, so that we don't continue this cycle. And then we wound our kids, and then they grow up needing support and dealing with their wounds. I mean, there's always going to be wounds, but like we can minimize the damage of it.
And I think if we do our own inner work, let me talk for myself. Now I've done my inner work, and my children will come someday and they talk to me like, "Mom, what you did, it really wounded me." Then I can be their space holder. Okay, tell me about it. I can listen to you. I hear you. I see you. I feel you. And I'm sorry that I did that, or that you felt it that way. So I can be there for them instead of, you know, going in defense or not listen to them at all, or start an argument and so we never see each other again. I think that's also important, to do your inner work so you can be that space holder even on the long term.
And you're not taking things personal, because the truth is that wounds are created no matter what, because of the fact that our kids are so dependent on us and they rely on us for so much that, especially for a long period of time, that wounds are inevitable. That's going to happen, because we also ourselves are wounded. And so being honest with ourselves that we are aware that we could create a wound, and it's this piece of, if we do the inner work, then we're not projecting back all over our kids or taking it out on them, or, we can really hear what they're needing.
And I also believe that my parents, as well as myself, I did the best I could in that moment with all the tools and all the information and all that I could do in that moment. Because if I could have done it differently, or my parents could have done it differently, that probably would have. So, you know, they always do their best. And even if it's an unconscious thing that they were doing, they did their best. And yeah, with what, where they were at that moment.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can do now is just heal myself in all those things that I maybe, you know, didn't knew then.
Yeah.
So I can be me, my new me again, yes. And approaching, yeah, the way that I am in this moment now.
Yeah. And what a blessing for your kids too, to be able to experience this part of you that they wouldn't have experienced had you not done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I think I know what your answer is, but we ask all of our interviewees our question of what is your best parenting advice?
My best parenting advice. Well, do your inner work.
Yeah.
Mm. And don't take it personally. Mm. Don't take it personally, because, and if you do take it personally, then look at yourself. What makes me make it personal? Is that a correct sentence?
Yeah.
You do that reflection on yourself.
Yeah.
Why do I take this personal? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it touch me? Where does it touch me?
Namaya, thank you so much. This has been wonderful being able to talk to you about this subject. You really gave me some big gifts of some things to reflect on. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Uncensored Parenting. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Uncensored Parenting Podcast. We're out.
Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid.